Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics, including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution.
Welcome to Wedlake Bell's Data Privacy Podcast, Episode 2, recorded on 13th October 2021. Today we have 12 updates for you. Update number 1 relates to international data transfers, including the ICO's call for an international solution to data transfers, G7 cooperation on data free flow, and US Congress paper on transatlantic data flows. According to the UK's ICO, domestic data transfer solutions cannot address the various issues that arise in different jurisdictions. An international solution is needed. Adequacy decisions have great benefits, but it is difficult to reconcile legal systems with different histories, cultures, and societies, and then make a binary decision that the country's protection of personal data is adequate or not. This can lead to unfair outcomes, and the ICO reiterates that international data transfers to countries without adequacy are possible as long as the data remains protected. Of course, achieving that can be a difficult task. At the same time, the G7 data protection authorities have agreed to build evidence against data localization, encourage regulatory innovation to enable cross-border data transfers, work on government access to private data, and work on data sharing in priority sectors such as healthcare. Meanwhile, the US Congress paper analyzes solutions to the US-EU data flow dilemma, which may affect $264 billion of trade of ICT-enabled services. Amazon and Apple are two of the top five e-commerce retailers in Europe. According to the paper, setting an international data privacy standard is also important for countering China's potential influence on the issue globally. The paper discusses solutions such as a successor to Privacy Shield and changes on authorizing and overseeing surveillance programs. Despite the Schrems ruling, the current Privacy Shield continues in effect and many US organizations remain certified. Passing a federal privacy law and applying for adequacy status. Strengthening the oversight of the intelligence community with regard to Privacy Shield. Establishing EU codes of conduct for certifications that meet GDPR requirements, but these would likely be subject to the same requirements as the SEC's. A new trade deal with the EU, however, unlike the US, the EU does not ensure cross-border data flows or prohibit data localization in its trade agreements. On the other hand, the US-UK Free Trade Agreement, which is being negotiated, does contain obligations on open cross-border data flows. However, this could jeopardize the UK's adequacy status. And finally, the Biden administration may issue executive orders to alleviate EU concerns about US government access to personal data and the availability of judicial redress for EU citizens.
Update number 2. Big Tech announced the Trusted Cloud Principles. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others have introduced principles aimed at setting standards for government data access requests and thus satisfying requirements for the free flow of data, which is crucial for their businesses. The cloud providers commit to working with policymakers and interest groups to ensure that laws comply with the following principles. Firstly, governments should first seek disclosure from enterprise customers. Customers should have the right to be notified of requests. There should be a clear process for cloud providers to challenge requests. Cloud providers should not be punished for legal compliance in one country, which results in a violation in another. And finally, governments should support cross-border data flows and resist data localization.
Update number 3. EDPB opines on the draft adequacy decision for South Korea. South Korea's system is aligned on fundamental principles and provides an essentially equivalent level of protection. However, clarifications are being sought about exemptions that apply to pseudonymized data, which must be limited to research and statistical analysis, to confirm that rules apply to processes, about the burden of proof that EU individuals will have to meet for a complaint with the authority or other redress, that data transfers are subject to consent, which must be freely given, and that privacy notices will explain the risks of each transfer, about the independence of the South Korean supervisory authority, that on law enforcement access, the voluntary disclosure by telecoms providers will be subject to mandatory notice to data subjects, that there is no bulk interception, as indeed there are no provisions under Korean law for such interception, and that it is unclear how data is shared in international law enforcement collaborations, and as there are no provisions under Korean law for this. Finally, that the adoption of notifications by the authority to fill in the gaps in the legal system to attain adequacy will not be modified by the judiciary, as they only contain clarifications rather than new law.
Update number 4. Norwegian company is fined £400,000 for non-compliant data transfers to China. The Irish Data Protection Commission continues to investigate TikTok's compliance of data transfers to China. The Norwegian Data Protection Authority found out from press that a Norwegian toll company engaged a processor in China. An investigation revealed that for a period of 2 years, there was no Article 28 agreement, transfer risk assessment, and model clauses in place. Meanwhile, the Irish Data Protection Commission's TikTok investigation is ongoing.
Update number 5. EU Parliament's research paper on EU Health Data Centre and a Common Data Strategy for Public Health. The pandemic has highlighted the need for comprehensive health data governance across the EU. Currently, significant semantic differences mean that even simple statistics, such as the number of available intensive care beds, cannot be consistently tracked across member states. Data sharing is essential for fighting cross-border health threats and to make data-supported public health policy decisions. However, there is a need for legislation on privacy rules for public health data and vital data to deal with the differing interpretations of the GDPR across member states, which stand in the way of developing AI systems for health analytics. Automated decision-making will likely be pivotal to allow predictions to be made for a particular individual based on statistical inferences from similar cohort of individuals, and consent will often not be practical. The intention is to establish an AI platform for surveillance which would be able to suggest targeted controls on human actions to stop the spread of a disease. The system will exchange interoperable data, including health data, laboratory data, and non-health data that would only become relevant upon the onset of a health crisis, such as data on personal mobility or person-to-person interactions. This is an exciting yet challenging proposal for real-time personalized public health. The EU Data Centre for Emergency Coordination and Response is expected to help with the datafication of public health in a harmonised way and establishing advanced insightful data analytics.
Update number 6. We Buy Any Car and Sports Direct are fined £270,000 for misapplying the soft opt-in rule. We Buy Any Car relied on soft opt-in after a car valuation. 10 individuals complained to the ICO that they kept receiving messages after the period during which the quoted price was guaranteed. Individuals had no opportunity to refuse marketing when initially inputting their details, but only after the first communication. The ICO did not accept that a minor temporal gap between the two events was lawful, and the messages were not service messages. Sports Direct sent re-engagement messages to an opted-in aged data set with the intent to reconnect with customers after lockdown, but also to delete data if people unsubscribed or failed to engage. Sports Direct claimed that users had been opted in, but evidence of consent was deleted due to data minimization. In these circumstances, the ICO held that Sports Direct could not switch to soft opt-in and legitimate interest.
Update number 7 relates to cookies, including G7 cooperation, EDPB's Cookie Task Force, and European Digital Rights Association's push for strong e-privacy. At a September G7 roundtable, data protection and privacy authorities committed to working with tech companies, standards bodies, civil society groups, and users to find better ways to secure informed and meaningful consent for tracking online. A plan will be prepared which foresees that web browsers, software applications, and device settings will replace the current cookie pop-up solution. At the same time, in Europe, Max Schrems' foundation, None of Your Business, is sending cookie complaints to all major businesses. The EDPB decided to set up a task force to help DPAs coordinate the response to these complaints and exchange views on legal analysis and possible infringements. Finally, the EDRI Association, which is a collective of 45-plus NGOs, pushes for replacing the cookie pop-ups with a Do Not Track signal in browsers, a ban on cookie walls, and opposes legitimate interest for communications data.
Update number 8. European Data Protection Supervisor's opinion on the 2021 EU Anti-Money Laundering Package. The EDPS welcomes the objective of increasing the effectiveness of anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism by further harmonisation and supervision. The proposal continues to adopt a risk-based approach to the monitoring of the use of the financial system, which must be as effective as possible while being least privacy intrusive. The new European Authority for Countering Money Laundering and Financing Terrorism, or AMLA, will issue regulatory technical standards about the processing of personal data in customer due diligence. These must be consulted with the EDPS. However, the legal text should be more specific about data processing, including how and why criminal convictions and offences data may be used. The proposed beneficial ownership register should include predefined data fields, and access should be limited to specific authorities. The general public should not have access unless required under Freedom of Information legislation. AMLA should develop evidence about the proportionality of the use of the register. The central AML-CFT database, FIU.net, operated by AMLA, should only be accessed for investigations as opposed to intelligence. Organisations must inform their customers about AML processing and the external sources of information about them. The information needed for customer due diligence should be different to that needed for KYC, which is for anti-fraud purposes. Watchlists should only be viewed if a high risk of money laundering or financing of terrorism is suspected. Integrity screening of employees should be limited to categories of employees entrusted with the entity's compliance.
Update number 9, Swiss report on the US Cloud Act. The report discusses the effects of the act and considers entering into an executive agreement to allow the US to issue subpoenas directly on Swiss companies to collect data about Swiss citizens. Similar evidence-sharing mechanisms include the EU's proposal for an e-evidence regulation, a negotiation with the US on electronic evidence and judicial cooperation in criminal matters. At the same time, the second protocol to the Council of Europe's Budapest Convention is being negotiated, which will relate to evidence in cybercrime. However, respect for human rights, particularly fair trial, remains a sticking point. Currently, the US-UK bilateral data access agreement is the only example of a treaty under the Cloud Act, which allows the US to access UK telecoms data subject to judicial oversight. However, it is difficult to reconcile the Cloud Act with Swiss law. The subpoena will be limited to investigating serious crimes. However, each request must be targeted and based on a warrant issued upon an affidavit about reasonable suspicion. Individuals would not know about the request and would be unable to challenge it, and Swiss authorities would not be in control and would not be able to safeguard their citizens' right to a fair trial.
Update number 10. Opinion of Advocate Bobek in CJEU case C17520, SIASS and the Latvian State Revenue Service. In this case, the Latvian Tax Authority requested from an online platform all data about people posting ads to sell their car, presumably to find out if people complied with their tax obligations. The platform challenged the request in courts, which ultimately led to the referral. According to the Advocate General, the GDPR will not prevent a public authority from making disclosure requests with a search and detect or a verification objective. However, any requests require a solid basis in law, and the information sought must be suitable and necessary for the stated aim. The broader the request, the more detailed the legislative basis must be. Article 6.3 of the GDPR does not preclude a situation where legislative and administrative provisions make up the legal basis jointly. In terms of proportionality, search and detect requests must be limited to a type of data, i.e. economic activity data, but not private life data, such as whether the person selling a car has red hair, follows a particular diet, or owns a swimming pool. Verification requests must be limited to the specific data required for the investigation. Recital 31 of the GDPR describes certain limits on such requests, but the recital cannot be taken out of context to challenge such requests, and it will not ban all larger-scale government data access requests. In addition, the GDPR does not prevent requests that are unlimited in time, provided they are based on an appropriate legal basis. In this case, the tax authority and other controllers must ensure that individuals know who might have access to their data and can foresee the purposes of processing, unless restrictions on transparency are adopted in compliance with Article 23 of the GDPR.
Update number 11, the right to privacy in the digital age, a report of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. AI is a tremendous force for good, which can also have negative, even catastrophic, effects on human rights. The right to privacy plays a pivotal role in the balance of power between the state and the individual, and is a foundational right for a democratic society and people's online and offline existence. Any interference with the right to privacy must not be arbitrary or unlawful. The issue with AI systems, including profiling, automated decision-making, and machine learning, is that they intensify such interference, encourage increased data collection by companies without scrutiny, and can affect lives even without personal data if they identify patterns of human behavior and draw conclusions about people and predict likelihood of future behavior or events. AI-made inferences and predictions, despite their probabilistic nature, can be the basis for decisions affecting people's rights, at times in a fully automated way. AI forecasting in law enforcement creates profiles from a large set of private data to flag likely suspects and future reoffenders, and it can trigger state interventions such as a search of a person without a reasonable suspicion that is transparent or explainable. Remote biometric recognition is dangerous because of revealing unique characteristics and key attributes of a person. It also allows to systematically identify and track individuals. Predictive biometrics reduces people's emotional and mental state to gauge if they present a security threat. AI in public services means that private companies which operate the systems gain access to information about large parts of the population. In the employment context, people analytics provide more efficient and objective information about hiring, promotion schemes, or dismissals. Thanks to the pandemic, workplace monitoring by AI systems is taken into people's homes. In information management online, AI helps to rank and personalize content based on user profiles. AI is used to counter perceived online harms without appreciating the severe impact on privacy and people's capacity to form and develop opinions. These risks should be addressed by implementing core principles such as equality, participation, accountability, legality, legitimacy, necessity, and proportionality. The prohibition of certain AI technologies, applications, or use cases where the impact on international human rights cannot be justified, for example, social scoring of individuals by the government. Human rights due diligence must be conducted on AI systems. Governments must take additional steps to ensure the legality of their AI-powered systems. Transparency must be ensured to fight the black box issue, and the identity of the developer and operator of the systems, and when data is used to train the AI system, should be disclosed. Finally, a moratorium should be imposed on the use of remote biometric recognition technologies in public spaces until accuracy and safeguards are established.
Update number 12. Navigating the global data privacy landscape, the 2020 Global Privacy Assembly Census. The responses of 70 out of 130 Global Privacy Assembly members suggest a growth in the data privacy regulatory sector in scope, funding, and enforcement. For more information about these updates, please go to the Wedlake Bell website.
You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.